Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Startup Sales. This week we have Mohamed Alkademi from Holland. He's the founder and CEO of Wise Minds. It's going to be a great episode. He's going to talk about what he's learned, some mistakes that he's made, and some other cool things. So let's get to today's episode.
Welcome to the Startup Sales Podcast, where we dive into the world of sales and marketing. Join us as we interview founders and industry experts, uncovering their successes and failures in the market. Get valuable insights and learn from their experiences to boost your own sales strategies. And now, a word from this episode's sponsor. Are you tired of struggling to reach your sales targets? We believe in you get what you pay for. That's why you pay only for the leads you get. Introducing Startup Sales, the leading growth hacking agency that guarantees meetings with your prospects. With our proven strategies, we'll bring you between 15 to 30 qualified prospects every month. And here's the best part. It's risk-free. You only pay us upon success. Don't let your competitors get ahead. Let Startup Sales supercharge your sales pipeline today. Visit us at startupsales.io. Startup Sales, your ultimate growth hacking partner.
Mohamed, thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Great. Can you give people a little bit of background about who you are and what your experience is?
Yes, of course, I would love to. First thing first, I will not drop any numbers because I see people doing that a lot. And I'm like, that's quite misleading because you should never listen to anybody because of some numbers he throws up online, right? You should listen to people because of their logic. Just like reading books, you read the book because you follow the logic and you think it's very logical what the writer has written down. Right. So I think you should follow me because I'm a software engineer. That's the first reason. And the second reason is because I'm a software engineer. That sounds very funny, but just a little story. When I started my first business, it was a restaurant and I was at the barber and I was just telling him about what is happening with my restaurant, with my business, and that the sales were not going well. So he gave me Very valuable advice. So a software engineer is just like a barber. We speak to a lot of companies. We talk to a lot of startups. And we know the insights of a lot of businesses. So because we're a software agency, we see a lot of things happening all around the startup ecosystem, all around the startup world. So I do have very valuable insights from all the companies we speak to and we provide assistance to. So that's the first reason. And the second reason is because software engineers and especially software architects, they seem to see the world from a viewpoint of systems. So everything is a system for me. We create software based on the system design thinking, where you start with requirements and constraints. And then you go to processes, subsystems, and the collaboration between those two. So we tend to get a nice helicopter view, an overhead view of different systems. And I seem to look at businesses from a system viewpoint. And I think that's a valuable thing to take along in your journey as a founder.
It's really interesting. Have you read the book by Mark Roberge? I think the sales acceleration formula.
No, it's on okay. My list, but I would really, really like to read it.
It's a good book, but he comes from the same side. I mean, I can't remember exactly his background, but he's very systems oriented. He was for those that don't know, he was the CRO or the head of sales. You know, his title changed throughout the time he was there, but of HubSpot, taking it from zero to about 100 million in revenue. So he didn't actually have any sales background. He came at the same approach as what you were just saying, Mohamed, is you need to have structure, you need to have systems in place. And that did very well for him. And I think that's a great way to approach sales. So,
yeah, and I think a business is a system construct, right? We have created as human beings. It's a social construct, which is in reality just a system with processes and other subsystems which collaborate together.
Whether you're aware of them or not, yes.
Exactly.
So off topic real quick, what kind of restaurant did you have?
Yeah, it's very funny. It's kind of a mix between fast food and Mediterranean food. So we served kebab. But we also served hamburger and pizza.
Yeah, so interesting. Systems oriented in that kind of restaurant more so. That's good.
Yes, you know, people don't see restaurants as systems, but if you really barely look at it, it's a pipeline somewhere, right? And people handling the orders, and in the background, the back office, which really takes the orders from the list and processes them one by one. And then provide the food with another subsystem, which serves the food to the client, right? So it's also a system.
Look at McDonald's. They've got the system down to a T. I mean, you could open up one of their manuals and just see how many steps to take, or, you know, what button to push, how many seconds to wait. Yeah.
It's fabulous how they did it, by the way. It's very inspiring.
I think there's something that's really interesting is that I've found that where I've learned the most for sales and for my career is from other industries that are unrelated.
Interesting.
So like I learned more about sales than from a guy that designs logos than anywhere else, I think. So I think it's important you take from all aspects. If you have that open mind, you could see what is actually going on and relate it to your business or what you're doing.
Exactly. Exactly. And the basis is the same. The fundament is the same. I mean, sales is, maybe we will be going to talk about it. What is the system behind sales? But if you strip down all sales systems, you get to a core, which is exactly the same for most of the companies, especially if you're a B2B founder.
So that's a good transition. What's that system?
Yeah. So what I see a lot of founders struggle with is the chaos, what is happening, the amount of signals they get from the marketplace. They are told to look at the competition. They are told to look at their revenue, the top or the bottom line. Every trainer, every coach has a different way to approach how a startup founder should schedule his time, but they are thrown in a lot of directions at the same time. So they are overwhelmed with a lot of signals. So for me, the system, the start of the designing of a system should always start from scratch. Like we remove all noise first, and then we start just like designing a system for a technical a platform or whatever. We just start from the beginning, and we all start with requirements. And requirements in this case of a startup company is where the desire to start this company came from, right? You start with the desire. Why are you doing it? Just like Simon Sinek says, I mean, this kind of classical approach, right? But he says it because of a reason. Because when you start a company, you shouldn't be looking at the numbers. You shouldn't be looking at this is the amount of money I will be making. No, you should start with why am I doing this in the first place? Because money can be taken from a lot of places. You can deserve money from a lot of ways, right? You can work as a consultant, you can get a lot of money. As a contractor, you can get a lot of money. You don't even need employees to pay for every month, right? So you don't take any risk. But if you are a startup founder, then there is a good reason behind it most of the times. You're passionate about something. So why don't you start with a passion? Start with a passion. In the end, the marketplace is just a place where you arbitrage. It's a value providing arbitrage. You provide value to people, and you start with ambition, and you look at the value you can bring out from this ambition. What value can I bring? And most of the time, when we're talking about value, it's a very difficult concept to understand. A lot of people who buy want to try to quantify your value in money, because it's very simple. Is it worth it to pay this amount of money for this value which is brought to me? So people tend to try to quantify it in money, but that's a step further, I think. First, decide on what value you bring. Then to communicate it, you have to find out a couple of tricks, communication tricks. But first, you need to know the value. You need to know your ambition, your inner motivation. Then you understand your value you can bring with that from that inner motivation. And then afterwards, you try to put it in an interesting way in the marketplace, which can be converted to a value, which can have a worth in the marketplace. So people are starting 10 steps in the future, 10 steps ahead. Well, they should go back and start with the value they bring and why they want to bring that to the market. Because most of the time, those are the most interesting stories to tell. When you are selling anything, you want to tell why you started off with selling such a thing. What made you passionate about it? And people love passionate people, right? We fall in love with passion. I mean, even when dating, it's a big difference. When you date someone which is passionate about a couple of things, then you can align with that person or not. And people are afraid to be passionate these days because they're afraid that other people misalign with them. But that's okay, right? So be passionate. Start with your passion. Start with your why. And I'm bringing it like Simon. Yeah, start with why. And then after that, define the value you bring. And after that, 10 steps after that, comes your offer. And I think we should learn to experiment with our offer, because that's also a pitfall I'm seeing a lot. People are bringing an offer, and that's the definition of their company, which should never be. Your offer is not the definition of your company. That's 10 steps before. That came 10 steps before. The offer is something you need to discover, because if you have your why, you have your value, you find a problem you can solve, you can provide value by solving, then you can quantify it. How much money is this problem costing me as a founder? Then you can value the offer of a different company. So people start with the offer, and that's the wrong way around. So I think if we're looking at it from a system perspective, it would be a very strange design principle, way of designing such a system. So that's why we always need to start from the scratch to try to redefine from the scratch why we are doing it, the value we bring, the problem we solve, the offer we bring, which fits, which solves the problem and fits the target audience. And then we try to communicate it. Find out that it didn't work, it doesn't work with the target audience, that we need another offer, and that then we test that one, then we find out that one doesn't work really well also, then we test another one, find out that that works a little bit, then optimize it, and then if you're 10 years away from now, your offer should look very different from this day. So this is a natural process we can go through when we are talking about designing such a system for the sales.
I think there's two things I want to bring up here. One is, you said like you got to be passionate, and most people aren't passionate or show their passion because they're afraid to be rejected and whatever reason. But I'd rather be passionate and have that connect strongly with 20% of my audience. Because 20% can make a very good business versus being neutral and not connecting strongly with anybody, and then you just become a commodity.
Yeah, exactly. That's a very good point, by the way, because actually the problem lies in how we evaluate success. And yeah, sounds very far away from the thing you said, but it's not. So yeah, it all starts with how do we evaluate if we are successful or not, right? So if you evaluate success by the amount of money that comes into your account every month, yes, then it seems very unnatural to misalign with a lot of customers, of a lot of possible customers. But if your KPI, if your measure of success is a different one, like what value can I bring to the marketplace, starting from my passion, then we are talking about a very different story. Then you will measure other things. And this is something which is systematically going wrong in a lot of businesses. And it's because of the culture we have as startups. We are surrounded by people who are very money oriented, and a lot of marketeers and a lot of YouTubers found this very nice hook by starting a video in the first 5 seconds. And you know, you're a salesperson yourself. You want to hook your audience when you have a YouTube video. So you start up with your video with money, a very money oriented message. On Instagram, a lot of money oriented posts. So everybody is talking about money. A lot of people are saying measure, measure, measure. But when you go into the depth, into their message, what should you measure? Money. Of course you should measure money, of course, because that's a necessity for your business to survive, right? I mean, we're not charities, and that's for a reason. But still, money is not the primary cause you are doing this. It's not the primary cause you are a founder. It's something which is necessary to survive. So it's a secondary thing for the long term. For the long term, you want to see, okay, what value do I want to bring to the market? Where do I want to be in 10 years? What kind of company, what kind of value do I want to spread around the world in 10 years? And work towards it and measure that. Measure that.
I think that's such a strong message, and I think a very good example, which will politically push a lot of people away, but is Elon Musk. And, you know, if you look at politics, put up politics aside, he is an amazing man. Look at what he's accomplished. And let's just take just only SpaceX. I'm in the middle of reading his new biography. just SpaceX alone, you know, he didn't look at how to make money, how to make this a profitable company. He said, I want to build a rocket and I want to get us humans to Mars. That's it. And then he hired somebody else, a business person, to, okay, figure out how to make money from this. But it's not to make money to be a business. It's to make money to support the cause, which is to get humans to Mars. That's it.
Yeah, and it's some kind of passion. He's passionate about this subject, right? So he starts with the passion. And he's also a little bit challenging. He's challenging the marketplace because he thinks that it can be better. Like also the Tesla cars, right? You have this oil-based or I don't gas. Know how you say it, gas-based cars. The market is huge, right? You have Toyota, you have BMW, you have all these great brands which bring out very good cars, very good quality cars for quite a low price. And they have their process perfectly designed, right? If I'm a system thinker and I'm looking at the Toyota factory and I'm like, ooh, this is something beautiful, right? So they have their system perfectly in place. And he's like, I can do it better, right? So he believes in something. And from this belief, he starts navigating through the world, communicating to the world that there is a better solution, more efficient solution, and he can do this many cars a year with this type of fabrication method and this type of car, which is innovative on so many different areas. And of course, I'm not saying we should compare ourselves to Elon Musk, because let's be very honest, he's an experiment. And when, you know, I'm not from the philosophy that everybody can be anyone or anything, yeah. Right? So it's reality. If I'm not good at mathematics, then I'm better off to do something I'm good at, right? Yeah. So let's not compare ourselves with natural talents in a specific industry, but we can take learnings from them. And this learning from Elon Musk, that he believes in something and then he executes upon it, is the right order to start a business, I think.
You know, I started this podcast about 5-6 years ago for two reasons. The main one is for me to learn from other people and get free time, one-on-one time, and I get to ask questions that I want to know the answers to. Yep. But it was also to share with the community, you know, those answers, because I can't be the only one that wants that. And that was my passion. That was what I wanted to do, is to learn and share that those learnings with other people. And that's, I mean, thank God it's allowed me to have a business for the last 5-6 years to support my family and everything. But the mission was the same, to learn and help others learn.
Yeah, and I think that's the basis of every type of work. I think it's a nature inside the human being.
Yeah,
and we're being innate, unnatural in how our communities are behaving. Like in the past, or in villages, you can still see that. You are the baker. You are good in bringing or making bread. Then you go to the marketplace, you make bread, and you can make a living out of that. You are passionate about it. And when you are a kid, until you grow up, you are a baker. And you love what you do. And you wake up every morning very early just to get those breads for the people. And you feel a certain value you bring in the marketplace, because if you don't wake up at that morning, then there's a problem in your village. So We are value-bringing entities. We are value-bringing beings. And that is in line with our nature as humans, to have these conversations, to try to find out what is my value, to talk to people, if that's your value, and to get knowledge out of them, and to spread that knowledge. That is your value, and that you bring bread on the table because of that. That you can feed your family because of that, that is something natural. That should be something which is to expect.
There's, do you know Zig Ziglar? Or Jim Rohn? I can't remember who said it. One of the two, Jim Rohn or Zig Ziglar. they said, you could get anything you want in life if you help enough people get what they want.
Exactly. So. Exactly. Yeah, and that is the value providing arbitrage, and we go back to a very simple mechanism in the marketplace. It's or volume or high ticket. So if you bring a lot of people value, it's a volume type of business. Then you will earn whatever is necessary to feed your family with a lot of volume in any way, whatever you do.
Yeah. Good. So let's kind of full circle this whole, you know, sales should have a process and a structure, which I totally believe in. What are some of the biggest tips in that you've seen and you experienced yourself, and also some of the biggest failures that you've seen yourself in setting up a structure and a system?
Yeah. Yeah, I see. I said it a little bit. I mentioned it a little bit before. Is that a lot of startups are like very busy and very overwhelmed with all the directions they are sent to. And what I saw in a lot of startups is they don't question their offer. It's like, this is our target audience. This is our offer. And we try to make it work. However, then they experiment with how to make it work, but they don't change these. They're just fixated in a certain solution. I see that a lot with tech founders. They have made a platform, and it's a kind of a sunken cost principle. So you invested in something. You invested a lot in something, because I can tell you development is quite expensive. So you invested in something, building a platform or building a mobile application, and then you don't want to find out, and you're blocking yourself, right? Here, you're blocking your understanding mechanism that your solution to the problem is not solving the problem. And there, this fixation is a huge, huge issue in the tech startup world. Sometimes we sit with founders, we talk them out of their fixation, and sometimes we just cannot. They're just too fixated on a certain solution. So they need to fail the business, and that's the only way they will understand that it's not the right choice. And you know, the worst thing is if they don't fail. And this is a point where a lot of people struggle and keep in a kind of plateau. They don't grow. Their solution is not the right one, but they have put so much effort into working around that, that they are offering services besides their main, their core business offering, that they are working in the evenings on a Saturday just to make up for their non-fit with the target audience. So
yeah,
they survive, and they can survive like for 20 years, but never grow to a major company which can survive and scale and thrive in the future. So that's a very, very painful pitfall, which can take 20 years of your life.
See that a lot. A lot of people have a software company, but they're also consulting on the side to support that cost. So
yeah,
absolutely. Great. Mohammed, thanks so much for joining us. Can you tell us a little bit about your company, how to reach out to you? And also, I understand you also have a podcast. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes, of course. Yeah. So, let's talk about WiseMinds. WiseMinds is actually a software agency, but what we try to do is we want to be a long-term partner with our clients, and we call them partners, because what we see is a lot of startups fail on the tech side of the business. And this is actually very painful, because the tech is quite straightforward. It's just like mathematics, right? If you can solve a formula, you can solve it 10,000 times and it will have the same end results. So tech is an exact science.
Yeah.
And people failing on that is a shame. So I would love to help startups to get past their tech problems. And we provide them a complete team from a strategist to a developer on a monthly subscription. That's what WiseMinds does. As for my startup, I'm podcast. It's Scaling with Purpose. And it's a new startup, a newly started podcast. I'm switching between podcast and startup.
That's all right. Podcast, yeah. Startup podcast. You know, sometimes a podcast is just as much work as a startup. So
exactly. It is kind of a startup, right? Yeah. So this podcast is about how to scale as a purpose-driven startup. So we're talking to experts, we're talking to startup founders to find out what is the magic formula and the system I'm talking about. How does that system look like exactly? How did they do it? And you know, when talking about systems, that is not an exact science. So there are thousands of flavors how you can scale up a startup. So it's quite interesting, the conversations we have there. For me, I'm really passionate about hearing them, and I'm really passionate about talking to our guests. And I think, I believe that startups will get a lot of value from it.
Great. And how can people reach out to you?
Yes, through LinkedIn, you can search my name and then you can send me a connect. I'm very active on LinkedIn.
Okay. Mohammed Al-Qadoumi. I butchered that. I'm really sorry. Can you? Yeah. How do I say your last name?
Yeah. Al-Qadoumi in Iraqi, but in Dutch, you spell it as Al-Qadoumi. Yeah.
Perfect.
But you can find me also on Wise Minds. I think that's an easier way to spell anything that relates to me.
Great. Mohammed, thanks so much. It was a great conversation. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And
sorry.
Yeah. Great. Great. Yeah, I had a lot of fun having this session.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Startup Sales with Adam Springer. Subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Contact Adam about speaking engagements or consulting services at adam@startupsales.io.